Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Grueling Truth Thursday Night NFL Football Show. I'm your host, Mike Goodpaster. Let me welcome in. We've got two co-hosts tonight. We've got our normal football co-host, Matt Andrew Scavage. How you doing tonight, Matt?
Great, Mike. Glad to be here.
And we got Joe Rodriguez.
Hello, Mike.
And we were supposed to have Kenny Easley on tonight, but for some reason, I see Kenny calling, but we cannot connect to him. It's a Blog Talk issue. Hopefully he'll be on later in the show. Hopefully they'll get that fixed. I mean, we had this problem a couple weeks ago with Christian Okoye where I couldn't even call in and neither could Matt. But so we'll just go ahead and we'll start off with, we had the passing of an NFL legend today, Kenny the Snake Stabler, who was the quarterback for the Oakland Raiders when they won Super Bowl XI. A lot of people believe that he belongs in the Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts on it, Matt?
It's kind of a sad day, you know. I always liked the Snake. You know, we talked about this, I think one of the first episodes you had me on. You know, whenever I watch Ken Stabler, I think winner. I think all the big games that he was involved in. It's debatable whether or not he belongs in the Hall of Fame, but regardless of that, he was a very good quarterback. He was fun to watch. He was on a couple of really good Raider teams. And anytime a player of that caliber goes, it's a sad day.
Joe?
I have to admit, I love Stabler, watching him in the 70s, and he was really cool. He was a perfect quarterback for that team. He had the perfect demeanor. Nothing bothered him. As for whether he should be in the Hall of Fame, my feeling is that he should not. He had more interceptions than touchdowns in his career, but then Joe Namath's in the Hall of Fame. And he had a better Super Bowl statistically than Namath did. So it's arguable. I would say no, but you could bring up the Namath argument.
Yeah. I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame either, but I think he was a very good quarterback, and he was very good under pressure. And I know he played in Joe's favorite game in all of history that didn't include the New York Giants in the Sea of Hands game, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember it. I actually watched it, and it was the greatest game I ever saw. I wish we could watch it again. And, Matt, I know you know what I'm talking about, and Mike.
Yeah,
I don't have a slightest clue what you're talking about.
The Sea of Hands game to me is, I think I could go one of like maybe three or four games, you know. That is definitely as good as any game I've ever seen. And I haven't seen the whole game, but just from all the highlights and just what's available out there that ESPN has put out, and it was such a phenomenal game.
Yeah. From what I've seen, it was good, and I didn't know Joe. I feel like I've seen the game just because Joe tells me about it so much. So, and I'm glad Don Shula lost because I don't like Don Shula, but that's a topic for another discussion, I guess.
How many big games has Don Shula lost?
Pretty much all of them except for two, I guess. But too bad he didn't coach the 49ers in Super Bowl 16 and 23. Which brings us to the topic that Matt had as a backup topic in case something like this happens, because occasionally it does with the Blog Talk Radio. So, Matt, you want to bring up our topic for this evening?
Well, it's going to be painful for all of us, but, you know, sometimes these group sessions can be kind of therapeutical. So we kicked this around, I think, a month or two ago, and I think it was Joe that said one time we need to do a show that where we go through all the games that still bring us a little bit of pain when we think of them. So that'll be the topic for tonight. All the games.
Well, see, the thing is this: I'm much more into that topic than if we were to sit here and talk about all the great moments our teams had.
This way we all have something we can share together, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, I can't really share the, you know, what it feels like to win a Super Bowl or, I mean, even in the last 25 years to win a playoff game being a Bengals fan. But, I mean, the only enjoyment I've really had over the last 10, 15 years is the fact that we almost always beat the Giants. But, and then it gets quiet. Now Joe's not going to talk. All right. Well, go ahead and bring up your number one game, Matt.
Oh, boy, my number one game that sticks out the worst. Oh, boy. There are several. Boy, my number one. I thought we were going to kind of go just inch towards the worst, but if we're going to just go right
off the
top. Well,
then we can inch towards the worst. It doesn't matter. Give me number five, then.
Matt, I don't have
an order, so I'm just going off the top of my head. So.
Well,
Matt, I'm having
Joe?
A premonition. I think that some of the games you're going to mention are the highlights of my life as a fan. So, but go ahead. I don't know what games you're going to mention, but go ahead.
I'm going to go to start off with the 2011 NFC Championship game.
I love that game.
It didn't hurt. It really was a good game. It didn't hurt as bad as some other ones, but. Because it was Harbaugh's first year as a coach. It was the first year the Niners had done anything at all significant in like a decade. So it was just one of those things where it was like, oh, I'm just so glad we're in the championship game. I'm so glad to see my team competing for the possibility of going to the Super Bowl. So I wasn't like, you know, absolutely throwing a fit when I got home or anything like that when they actually did lose, even though they lost. So just ridiculous that Kyle Williams could make mistakes like that. But it is one of those things where it's like, man, if they had just won, they had a really good chance. They could have beaten that Patriots team in the Super Bowl and possibly pulled that off. But it's just one of those things.
But they
had
Alex Smith playing quarterback. So.
Yeah, and he was effective that year. He wasn't great, but the defense was just so good. And, you know, who knows what would have happened if they had got there. So it was tough.
Got hammered.
For me, Matt, that's the difference right there. For anyone who doesn't know, I'm a Giants fan, and that Niners team in 2011 was better than the Giants. What kept them in the game was the quarterback play on both sides.
Yeah.
Alex Smith's ineffectiveness and Eli not turning the ball over and hanging in there and making plays. That was the difference in the game until somebody made a fatal mistake, unfortunately.
Yeah, both the touchdowns were because of Kyle Williams. Both times Kyle Williams fumbled, the Eli Manning was able to turn that into 7 points.
I was thinking about getting a Kyle Williams poster to put on my wall, so.
Right next to my Lewis Billups poster.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I love Lewis Billups.
I figured you would. It's the only way you guys were going to beat a superior team was by somebody making an inferior play. But go ahead, Joe. What's your one of your moments?
One of them or my number one?
We'll just start off at the bottom and we'll work our way to the top.
Well, in no particular order, I know what my number one is, and it'll give Matt pleasure. He knows which one it is. But I'll give you one of them. The 89 Rams-Giants playoff, the Flipper Anderson play. That really bothered me.
Right.
I thought the Giants were better in 89. I was really looking forward to a rematch with the Niners. I'm not saying they were as good as the Niners, but the Giants had a style that gave the Niners fits. That big physical
team.
The Giants had. The Niners almost always had difficulty with the Giants, and that Giant team was really, really good. They were 12-4. They did lose to the Niners in the regular season. But, you know, when you're very well coached and you're confident and you have a puncher's chance, as the Giants already did, or always did, who knows? And the Rams spoiled it.
Oh, I guess I got to go now, huh? Hell, I could just rattle off the last 5 years of the playoffs. I got the last 5 years of the playoffs. I could
go
with the Super Bowls. Huh?
You got a pretty large list to choose from.
Yes, I have a very large list, but... what the hell? I would say my number one would be the first one I remembered, which would be the Bengals-Raiders playoff game in 1975, where the Bengals were down 31-14 actually got it back to 31-28, and then I believe Bob Trumpy fumbled the ball when we were driving to score. The 75 Bengals were a team that was a borderline great team. They had a top-10 defense. They had a top 4 or 5 offense. You had Kenny Anderson, Isaac Curtis. Defensively, I mean, they were loaded, and then they lost. Because that's what happens with Cincinnati Bengals. No matter how good they are, they lose. So... But that would be mine. And see, I'm not going to pick any game where we played the 49ers. So I'm not even going to bring up the Super Bowls just because I don't want to give you the chance to bully me like you always do. I mean, you can ask Joe. I mean, I'm actually looking for a therapist because the way you've treated me is just so cruel that it's unbelievable.
That is great. Oh, beautiful.
I mean, I'll tell you what. And do you know what? Last week, me and Joe did a boxing show. Where I want to apologize now because I've gotten like 70 tweets from midgets that were mad about the midget joke I made. Joe knows what I'm talking about. And a lot of that is just because I have low self-esteem now from being beaten down by you over the last 10, 15 years.
This is great.
Oh, man.
I remember little Louie Johnson. He texted me and he said, Coach, I'm in tears. I can't believe you would talk to me. We are little people. And I'm like... You need to get a hold of Matt Andrew Scavage because, you know, you've demeaned and belittled me and my team so much that I feel that I have to strike out and short people.
This is beautiful. I wish that some of the players that you coach could hear you talk like this. This is great.
They've heard me talk like this. I coached a team in the Midget Football League one year. They weren't really midgets. They were 6 and 7 because my son was playing, but they called it the Midget Football League. So technically I've coached midgets. But let us get off the midgets.
Oh, awesome.
Joe, you want to give us another one?
I'll tell you a game that bothers me is the 1988 season finale against the Jets, Giants-Jets. Giants win, and they're in the playoffs. They lose to an inferior Jets team. They fumble at the goal line. I mean, that game bothered me for a long time. That Jet team was not nearly as good as the Giant team, but
did you say 1988?
And 88, yeah.
I love that game, by the way.
So yeah, that bothered me. Jet fans out there can enjoy it. That bothers me. It still bothers me a little bit today.
Yeah, I know that feeling. If I'm going to pick a regular season game, that just this drove me crazy forever. 1996, Week 7, Monday Night Football, Niners go to Lambeau. And the Niners were had Favre just shut down most of the day, and then he throws that pass to Don Beebe. There's debate as to whether or not he even caught the ball, but then he was for sure down. And it was their only touchdown the whole day. And they end up winning in overtime. And it really costs the Niners home field advantage because, you know, they get that win and they're home field advantage. Steve Young doesn't shatter his ribs. They don't have to play that extra game. Who knows what would have happened, but it was just one of those games where it's like, I'm hoping they could avenge the playoff loss from the year before, which was another one of those games that was really tough, but they ended up losing that game. And just, always one of those things that are just stuck in your craw. You know, living in Wisconsin, it was just even harder.
Well, my next one, I'll go a regular season game since Matt went a regular season game. I will go 1989. I think it was Christmas Eve night or Christmas night. We played the Minnesota Vikings, where if we win the game, we make the playoffs. The week before, we'd beaten the Houston Oilers and Jerry Glanville 61-7, which would be one of the highlights if it wasn't for the game the next week. But the Bengals basically came out, played like crap because, well, it was a big game and they're the Bengals. But I think we ended up losing the game 29-21. And I think the 89 Bengals, as weak as the AFC was, could have actually made a run in 1989. But, yeah, let's go back to Joe now.
Here's one that'll make a lot of people happy. The 93 season finale, Giants-Cowboys. They played for home field advantage throughout the playoffs. It was a season finale regular season game, but it was like a playoff game. And if any of you, to refresh your memory, that was the famous Emmitt Smith separated shoulder game. And let me tell you, I always hated Emmitt Smith, but I had to give him that game because he was just unbelievable in that game. And the Giants win. Look how things could have changed. Giants win. They get a bye week. They're the number one seed. Cowboys have to play the next week. Emmitt Smith had the separated shoulder. Who knows? Maybe the Cowboys don't make it back to the Super Bowl. With the Cowboys being the number one seed again, Smith gets a week of rest, and they had a tremendous run. And as you know, they won it all. And Smith, I think, was the MVP of that Super Bowl that year.
But let's face it, the Giants weren't going to win it that year anyways. Because if they were going to have to win the Super Bowl, they wouldn't have went to San Francisco and got beat 182-3.
It was close. It was 44-3.
Same difference.
That was the Ricky Waters 5-touchdown day.
That
well,
was.
Now, this is the thing. Now we got to listen to it. He's going to gloat again. If you don't watch it, he's going to start bullying you too, Joe.
That was the game that every time I saw the Niners guards pull, I just screamed, "Come on!" You know, because they just—it was like practice.
How did you scream again?
Wasn't that Lawrence Taylor's last year?
It was Lawrence Taylor and Phil Simms' last game.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Is it your turn, Matt, or mine?
I think it's mine. I mean, I don't mind if you go, though. This is painful.
Well, I could go. It's no big deal.
Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, I don't want to hog all your airtime. Yeah, I know how you get mad.
You're good.
And sending me dirty messages and tweets about, you know.
That is my style, totally.
I know. I will say the 1990 Bengals-Raiders divisional playoff game, the Bengals the week before destroyed them, but they played the divisional player, destroyed the Oilers. Once again, we destroyed the Oilers and then blew it the next week. But I remember that game because I think the Bengals were a better team, but not with what they went out there with, because you had, I think, James Brooks was injured, Icky Woods was injured, Montoya didn't play, Munoz didn't play, and then to make matters worse, they stay in the game at 17-10, and the Raiders have like third and long, and they throw a touchdown pass to Ethan Horton, who I don't think ever caught another touchdown pass before or after. But and I know we wouldn't have lost 51-3 to the Bills the next week, but that's my next one, so there you go, man.
Wasn't that Bo Jackson's last game?
Yeah.
No, Bo Jackson, I think, got hurt. Didn't he get hurt? Was it the playoff
game?
I thought he got hurt in the regular season game where they beat us 24-7.
The playoff game.
No, they got hurt. He got hurt in the playoff game.
Yeah,
did
he did. I think it was that
definitely
game.
Definitely against you guys in the playoff game.
Well, good. At least we got him since they got us. That was kind of rude.
Wow.
Hopefully Bo's not listening because I don't
well,
want another
good,
violent tweet from him like he usually does when I talk about it. But.
Yeah, that's
ahead,
just
Matt.
From me, yeah.
Go
oh,
ahead.
I
oh, yeah, that was you acting
one.
Like Bo Jackson because you were bullying me again, yeah.
Exactly. It's what I do. I think my next one would probably be Super Bowl 47. That was as rough of a day, probably because I knew Mike was going to harass me so much. So.
And I loved that day, by the way, because it was finally time to smack the bully back in the face. Because I remember calling him. Because the exciting part for me was this, Joe. It was a close game that they very easily could have won, and they were probably the better team. And it reminded me of the two Super Bowls they stole from us. And the thing is this. When I called him up, he's like, "Oh, it's no big deal. At least we got to the Super Bowl." But he didn't want me to know that he was in pain. And now we know he was
in pain,
and he lied to me the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, the other thing that really made that day painful was you guys remember the? You guys both watched that Super Bowl, right? I know you did, Mike. Joe, did you watch it? I don't know. Some people don't always watch Super Bowl.
Which one? Which one? 47?
The Ravens Niners one.
I actually have a copy of it. You'd like me to send you a copy of it? I'd love to. I'd do that.
You're not
Wonderful.
Allowed to have copies
Beautiful.
Of NFL games. You're not allowed to have copies of NFL games. Do you know how I don't like when people even bring up that stuff on air, Joe?
Yeah, you're right. We
I was just joking. I think they rebroadcast
and this
the
is
NFL
the bad
Network.
Thing. All right. Well, right now we're doing a NFL radio show, and if one of us did not watch a Super Bowl when we could have, we probably should be doing a soccer show.
Speaking of which, they're having a ticker tape parade for the women's soccer team here in New York. I think it's tomorrow.
That sounds awesome. Are you going, Joe?
You know, I'm working, but if I weren't working, I'd probably go.
Do you work up high enough where you can throw toilet paper on the soccer players because that's what they need?
I can't. I work across the street from the UN. If I throw toilet paper, they'll view me as a threat and I may be shot.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want that.
That's actually
well,
true.
We probably
can't throw anything
don't.
Out the window.
Maybe just move.
Oh, and Mike, getting back to your game, that I just looked it up. Bo Jackson, that was the game he got hurt, the playoff game against the Bengals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that means I was right again. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, there was a commercial in Super Bowl 47 where the two guys found the coffee stain that looked like Joe Montana. It was a hilarious commercial. It was great. I was like, oh, this is really good. This is really a clever commercial. And then they ended it with the wife of the guy who was a Ravens fan, and she washed the stain out. It's like you couldn't leave that commercial alone. It's bad enough we lost the game, but we couldn't even have a really cool commercial that ended with a Ravens fan giving a wink at the end. So that made it extra painful. But, yeah, it was just one of those days.
There you go.
Can't win them all.
There you go, Joe. That's a minute our show will never get back. I'm sorry. I just when we're in public like this, I can pick back and I don't have to worry about being injured. So, who's next? Is it Joe, Matt, or me?
I think it's Joe.
Okay.
Do I really have to bring this one up? This will make Matt happy. This is my biggest disappointment, football wise. The 2002 wild card game, Giants-Niners. Where do I even begin with that game? Giants had a huge lead. Shockey dropped a sure touchdown in the end zone that would have, I think, put the game out of reach. The Giants played not to lose. The 49ers had a furious comeback. Not only that, they got into the Giants' heads, and the Giants totally lost their cool, got personal fouls, allowed them to go right down the field. Jeff Garcia looked like Joe Montana that day. And then to the cherry on top is the infamous pass interference that wasn't called on the Giants lineman, Rich Seubert, if I remember correctly. They missed the call. It wasn't called. And then, of course, we got the wonderful apology from the NFL the next day saying that they blew the call. Thank you, NFL. Really appreciate it. I thought that Giants team was actually pretty good, and Mike and I have had this conversation in the past. He doesn't agree with me. I think the Giants could have given the Bucks a run.
No, I don't agree with you because they couldn't have, but your team did get royally screwed, and it's probably because the Bartolos were part of the Mafia. But even if they weren't there at the time, which I don't believe they were they still there at the time there, Matt?
No, they were gone.
They were gone, but still the Mafia still controlled everything. If you notice, really, they stopped winning games when the mob left. So that brings me to Super Bowl 16, where one of the two greatest football teams that ever lived lost the Super Bowl to an inferior team because I don't think – I really think that the balls probably were deflated in that game, the ones they kicked to the Bengals to fumble. But we turned the ball over, I think, five or six times. Y'all turned the ball over once. We – David Verser lined up wrong side, fourth and goal at the one. We didn't score. So, that's pretty much it. Go ahead, your turn.
Did the Niners fumble the opening kickoff of the
You
game?
Fumbled the opening kickoff. Famous Amos Lawrence from the University of North Carolina
fumbled
the ball.
Yeah, Amos Lawrence, right.
We got the ball. We got one first down. We got it inside the 10, and then Kenny Anderson threw a pass behind Isaac Curtis, and Isaac Curtis did not feel like making an attempt to break it up, so the 49ers intercepted the pass. But once again, mob connections might have had something to do with that. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, I would have to go with, probably 95 divisional playoff against the Packers. I think what made that so hard was all the Niners had to do was win against Atlanta or Green Bay lose to Pittsburgh in the last game of the year. They somehow lose, they blow a lead to Atlanta. That was terrible. Deserved to lose, though. And then the Packers, the Steelers are on the 5-yard line, and they hit Yancey Thigpen all alone in the end zone. He drops it, and that's how they win their first division crown in, like, forever. And instead of going to Dallas, they come out by us. And we just played terrible. Attacker just completely outplayed us, and it was so hard sitting there watching in a bar filled with Packer fans. It was just one of those days. So that's just one of those things that just sticks in my mind. But what are you going
to
do?
Number one, why would you go to a bar full of Packer fans?
Well, I went with my dad.
Okay, blame it on your dad.
Yeah, well.
All right, not a very good excuse. But who's next, me or Joe? I think it's Joe.
Yeah.
Okay, I already gave away my number one, but I have a few others that were lovely as well. The 97 playoff game, Giants against Vikings. They had...
Oh, I remember that.
I think a 9-10 point lead with a minute and a half left in the game.
Yeah.
And they blew it.
I love that game.
And again, I thought that was an inferior Vikings team.
Wait, did you say you loved that game?
I did love that game. I liked the Vikings uniforms. They were purple, and they had that little wing thing on it. I still don't know what the hell that is. Does anybody know what that thing is on the Viking helmet?
I have no clue.
It's a Viking. I don't know.
Not a Viking. It's
but
a little like a white wing thing. I watched the
like
TV
wing,
show
yeah.
Vikings, and I've never seen that on anything in the movie show.
Oh,
in
the
TV
are
show
you talking
Vikings.
About the is it on the helmet? Or
on the
wing?
Helmet.
Yeah,
it
looks like a
horn on the helmet.
Looks like a wing.
Yeah, it looks like an Angels Adidas tennis shoe.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a horn, but it is a horn.
Well, back to my heartache. The Giants were up 9 points with a minute and a half left.
That's my heartache.
And they blew it. I mean, the Packers went to the Super Bowl that year in 97?
Yeah. Yeah, I went through.
Yeah,
so, that was going to be my next game, too.
they wouldn't have beaten the Packers, but still, they should have won that game.
Well, Brett Favre might have thrown him a couple extra passes, though, to keep him in it. But my number one game, Super Bowl 23, where once again we were the better team and we lost. All right, we got like 2 minutes and 55 seconds left of live time, and then we'll go to archive time so you can listen to our show at the top of the hour, all the way complete on Blog Talk, Spreaker, Facebook, or any other place where they have any good radio. But, Matt, you're up.
All right. Well, yeah, you said 1997. I remember that game, Joe. I remember watching the Giants and the Vikings, and then we got to beat the Vikings. I'm thinking, we got a real good shot here, and then the Packers come to town, and they were between poor play on the Niners' part, a couple of bad calls by the refs, just a combination made for just a terrible day. Watch the Packers go to the Super Bowl in our backyard, and just, third year in a row. So, yeah, that one definitely stuck out. All three of those games, those years were really tough to get past, but it's been nice watching them beat the Packers the last couple of years, but still, the 90s were tough.
Yeah,
the 80s, come on.
Whatever, the 90s were so tough. Jeez.
Yeah, you were the team of the decade. The Niners were the team of the decade in the 80s. And you won a Super Bowl in the 90s. Come on.
But the 90s were so tough because they only made the playoffs a few times. I mean, come on. Give me a break.
Matt, don't make me call you Matthew.
Who call him Matthew?
They're calling Matthew.
Well,
and make me angry.
I felt they were better than those Packer teams, at least one or two of those years. And just hard to lose to – when you're living in this state, that's what really made it painful. I mean, they don't expect to win the Super Bowl every year, but, when you feel like you're the better team and you don't win, that's no fun. Nobody likes that.
All righty, Joe. You're up.
Giant fans and Eagle fans will remember this. The 2010 Giants-Eagle game, the Deshaun Jackson walk-off punt return touchdown. Full disclosure, I hate the Eagles, I hate Deshaun Jackson, and I hate Deshaun Jackson. So I had to say that twice because really, I really do. And before that, there was an onside kick that the Giants were caught off guard. I mean, really, that game really bothered me. They had a huge lead, and they just, I don't want to use poor language, they something it away, fill in the blank. So, yeah, that game really, really bothers me. But hey, Eagle fans, still haven't won a Super Bowl, so in your face. Thank you very much.
That
That's
was
right.
rude. Now you're bullying Eagles
fans. No, because Eagle
fans, way,
if you're
good
in this
thing,
air, Mike,
good
if you're
Joe's
in the Northeast,
not an Eagles fan.
No, if you're in the Northeast, Eagle fans are the worst, depending on your perspective. They're really, really rough. And Giant fans can just say, hey, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Can't hear you above
all right.
Our ring.
I think it's about time we wrap this rambling up. All right. my number one by far was an epic game played in 1993, December the 12th, in New England, where, I mean, the Bengals and the Patriots combined to play one of the finest football games I think that's ever been played. The Bengals, I mean, they had – the Bengals and Patriots combined had almost 300 yards of total offense. David Klingler was on fire that day. I think he was 9 for 30 for 80 yards and an interception. But Drew Bledsoe, being the really good quarterback that he was, outplayed him, going 11 for 23 for 100 yards and one touchdown. And the Bengals lost 7-2. And the reason I say that's the worst, you know, I've ever felt is because I've never seen a worse football game in my entire life, and my team lost the worst game ever played.
I don't know, man. The game between our two teams, Mike, a couple of years
ago. No, really? Hey, you know what?
Any game I've ever seen.
Remember, that game, a few years ago, ended up being two playoff teams playing, and there was,
yeah,
like, more
true.
Than 20 points combined scored.
That's true. There was 20 points scored in that game.
Yeah, and this was 7-2, 300 total yards. The Bengals ended up 3-13 that year, and the Patriots ended up 5-11. So if we'd have won that game, we'd have tied the Patriots for like 14th in the conference. So I had a hard time getting over that because we hadn't finished better than 14th in like 3 years. So I had my hopes up. They got crushed. But what are you going to do? So
yeah.
I figured if you want now, we can kind of talk about some of the changes that are coming to the show. You want to talk a little bit about the San Francisco 49er Weekly Show and about when we're going to kick that off?
Yeah. Dexter Carter and I have done two shows now. Last week we had former lineman Dennis Brown as a guest. Went really well. So we're looking to have that show going a little bit more frequently, keep up with 49er news and, you know, that sort of stuff. So that one's going well. We're hoping to get that going through the whole regular season and see what happens.
And I will be starting a Cincinnati Bengals show just because we need to have something that football fans want to listen to since we got the 49er show also. And you know, 49er fans, really baseball fans nowadays since the baseball team wins all the time. But I will host the Bengals show with former Bengals Super Bowl 23. So, yes, he was a starter. He was a starting linebacker on maybe the finest team God ever created, the 1988 Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Kelly will be my co-host. And Joe's a Giants fan. Joe, you going to do a Giants show or what?
You know, I was going to do one with Phil Sims, but he's kind of busy during the season, so I'm going to have to try to get somebody else.
Well, you and LT used to party back in the 80s. Do you still stay in touch with him?
Well, I didn't party. I would just look. I would just look out for him, make sure he didn't get in trouble. Obviously, I wasn't very successful.
Were you his wingman or what?
Yes.
All right.
Just yes.
Maybe
we can give him Gary Jeter's number.
Yeah, we could try. You interested in Gary Jeter?
Gary Jeter. Yeah, he was a terrific player. I really liked watching him play, and I was sorry that the Giants let him go.
Yeah, he was a great interview, too, twice. But we will also have an NFL Pick'em show with myself and Leon Searcy and you guys if you want to do it.
Absolutely.
Would love
Count
to.
Me in.
I think the Giants will go 16-0.
Well, I mean, we're going to do this, and basically everybody else is going to play for second because I'll win. So, because I have the show downloaded and I can edit it.
I have a question for you, Coach. With
this
recent JPP losing his index finger, you being a coach, how much does that impact his play? I know linemen use their hands. Can he still be an effective player?
Did he lose the tip or the whole thing?
Whole finger, whole index finger. He had it amputated because he thought that he has a fractured thumb, which is going to take like 6 weeks to heal. He voluntarily removed the index finger because he thought it would accelerate his recovery period and give him a better chance to continue his career. What are your thoughts?
I'll tell you what. You've got to be out of your damn mind to remove an appendage from your body so you can play football quicker.
You mean like Ronnie Lott?
That was different, though. That's just the tip of his pinky. He still had the rest of it. He's going to have no pinky.
So it wasn't
and
the
actually,
right pinky
I
down.
Think, as weird as this sounds, as a defensive end, it could affect him.
I think his thought process was that it could damage the rest of his hand, and they thought that by removing the index finger, it would save the rest of the hand and the rest of the fingers. I could be wrong, but that's what I thought.
Well, now
thought
that would be different, but if he's just doing it so he can play football quicker.
That's part of it, too.
Well, that's stupid. But
well,
I don't know. What
do
you think, Matt, as a 49ers fan?
Well,
I mean,
so
I don't
think
that I'd want a guy on my team that would voluntarily cut a finger off. Huh?
Joe, did he lose his entire finger?
Yeah, he had amputated. He amputated his right index finger.
And that will, I think it affects him. I mean, it's hard to get the edge without all five fingers.
Yeah, I would have been all right with the pinky, but the index, that might be tough.
Yeah.
Did he lose the pinky or the index?
Index.
Well, that's even worse. Yeah, that affects him. I don't see how he's going to be as good. He might still be good, but. Because offensive linemen are
terrible. He is a tremendous talent. But, yeah, I got to believe as a defensive end, if he's a linebacker, that might not be as bad because he's upright. He might have trouble getting off the ball or getting off, you know. I don't know.
He usually lines up at right end. Do you think, since it's his right hand, lining up at left end would be better?
Possibly.
I don't know.
That might be a better question for Mike.
Missing your index finger, I mean, if you're lined up on the right side, what hands down, Joe?
You're right.
Yes. So, the problem is this. If you're playing defensive end, I haven't really watched him really closely because he doesn't play in the NFL. He's a giant. I only watch Bengal games because they're the only real team. But, I mean, usually your right hand then is going to be your hand that's going to be, you know, getting the edge. You're trying to get control of the offensive lineman's shoulder pad. You're trying to get a hold of it. You're trying to turn his shoulder in so you can get around him. I think that would make that tough. If you put him on the left-hand side, you'd almost have to play him on the left, I would think, for him to be close to as effective as what he was.
You know, I watch him very closely. Being a Giant fan, obviously I watch every game. And he was okay against the pass, but he was tremendous against the run. Tremendous. He was excellent.
Well, I think he's still a good player. I just don't know if he'll be as good. Plus, you got to question, really, the intelligence of him if he's playing with fireworks and he's 30 years old almost.
26.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I don't let my kids play with fireworks. And the great thing about this, and we talked about it earlier, was my kids are always wanting fireworks. But every year I tell them no, and then almost like clockwork, every year I could show them the next day in the paper everybody that lost body parts because of it. I mean, I think it's kind of stupid. Yeah, I don't want my 12-year-old lighting something on fire and running around the yard with it.
You know,
nothing
the same
good
thing
comes
happened.
From that.
Similar
huh?
thing happened to the Buccaneers cornerback C.J. Wilson. He lost
yeah,
two
he
fingers.
Yeah, he lost two fingers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm an NFL player, if I'm Jason Pierre-Paul and I got that much money, I would just hire a homeless guy to light him for me and run around the yard.
Something. Don't light the fireworks.
Yeah.
You're in the NFL.
Plus, a homeless guy.
You gotta be really
shot.
Careful with everything you do.
Well,
especially when you set it on fire and it goes boom. So.
Play devil's advocate here. You know, a lot of young people do foolish things. We've all done them. And a lot of athletes, they ride motorcycles without helmets. They shouldn't be doing it. Ben Roethlisberger had a serious injury not that long ago, riding a motorcycle without a helmet.
he's a Steeler. It ain't going to affect him getting hit in the head.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like the Steelers, but I don't like the Steelers. So.
Well, that's the thing about a lot of these guys, though. I mean, you're in the NFL. How many classes do you think these guys go through? How many seminars and meetings they got to sit in? And they, I don't know. I mean, how do you not have someone around you to keep you away from some of these situations? But
yeah, but
again,
I don't think they're symposium if they go over fireworks safety. Maybe
no,
they
probably
need
not.
To.
Maybe they
maybe
need,
they
to,
need to. Yeah, he ain't gonna smoke crack, but he'll set a firework on his head. Well.
I wouldn't be surprised if after added to the symposium, I really would not be surprised.
No, since two players lost fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw the photos of Jason Pierre-Paul's hand mangled.
Oh, you saw a photo? Really?
So,
or maybe that was C.J. Wilson. I saw photos of one of their hands. It was ridiculous.
We got like 5 minutes left. And we also should be up on iTunes shortly, shouldn't we, Matt?
Yep.
And when when we get off the air here, I will take that picture and put it on the Spreaker. We can be found at Spreaker. Just go to Spreaker, look for The Grueling Truth. Go like our Facebook page, The Grueling Truth Facebook page. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We will have a major announcement shortly, I believe, about us partnering up with a larger radio organization to make us even bigger. We should be on iHeart and TuneIn within 2 months after getting up on iTunes. Friday night, we will have the International World Bowl Series weekly show, which this week I believe our coaching guest will be John Gregory, who coached the Hamilton Tiger Cats to a couple CFL Grey Cup championships. And we will talk about the combine that they will have and bowl game in New York. I believe it's in Schenectady, New York, which I may attend, and if I do, Joe Rodriguez is going to come buy me dinner. Correct, Joe?
I'll come by.
Okay, he just said he would come by. That means he will buy because he said he'll come by. But. And next Tuesday night, as always, we will have our boxing show, which we may have a guest, or me and Joe may ramble on similar to this. Correct, Joe?
Yes, I already have a topic.
He will come by.
What's the topic?
Greatest Mets of all time.
Greatest Mets of all time. So we're doing a top three list.
Yes. It's not boxing.
Strawberry,
Gooden,
and Nolan Ryan, and he didn't even really play for the Mets. So
he did. He was on the '69 World Championship team.
Well, then we'll have to do a top. We'll have to do a Milwaukee Brewer list after that, which will just be Robin Yount and Paul Molitor.
Robin Yount and Paul Molitor. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Top two. Which one's number one?
Gorman
right.
Thomas.
Yeah. Well, with Gorman Thomas, it breaks into your team's top 10. Yeah, you haven't won too many World Series. How many World Series have the Brewers won, Matt?
Same as a lot of other crappy franchises. Zero.
I thought he was going to say the
Reds. How many of the New York Mets won, Joe?
Two glorious championships.
Two, yeah.
And I will bring up the Cincinnati Reds. They won back-to-back one time, and they've won five, which is more than both of your teams combined. So we obviously have to have a baseball show at some point so I can bully both of you guys.
Listen, the Reds ripped off Mr. Met with that Mr. Red. Mr. Red is a ripoff of Mr. Met. That's a whole other show.
Actually, that is not correct, because on the cover of my 1957 Cincinnati Reds yearbook, there is a picture of Mr. Red. Now, the problem with your hypothesis, if that, I don't know if that fits right, but it sounds good, and I looked it up in the dictionary earlier, is that means we were before you. But
those are the big
right,
words.
So we
got to
wrap this up. We got
like
30 seconds left, so you're not going to get a last word, guys. But remember to catch us tomorrow night, International World Bowl Series, and next Tuesday and Thursday, our boxing and football shows with Joe and Matt. This is Coach Goodpaster. You're listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.